All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What's going on, everyone? We got a bonus episode today. I know that Quads and I are taking the week off, but we still got to deliver some content for y'all. So we are sitting down with Brett Harrison. He is a top 50 prospect going into the NHL draft and a possible pick for the Canucks in the second round with their 41st pick overall. He spent his time this past year playing in Finland, getting some time to play some hockey as the OHL shut down, played at the U18s for Canada, won a gold medal there, and he is going to return to the OHL next season with the Oshawa Generals for his second season there. Very excited to bring this conversation to you guys. And at the end, we found out that Brett actually works out with Bo Horvat in the offseason in London. So some exciting stuff in the chat there. So stay tuned for the Horvat chat near the end of the interview. But I think we'll just get right to it now with this bonus conversation here with a top 50 draft prospect. So without further ado, here's my chat with Brett Harrison. All right, guys, joining me now for the bonus conversation, we got another top 50 prospect coming on the show. Brett Harrison, he's coming off of playing some time in Finland, off of the U18s, a gold medal there. We'll definitely get into that. Also of the OHL, and we'll see what's going on with that next year for Brett. But Brett, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. Like I said, a beautiful day on the West Coast here. You said it's warming up a little bit over there in Ontario. That's good to hear. Canada's starting to open up a little bit. I feel like we're in some pretty good vibes right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just hoping to open some things up, get a little more normal summer this year, and hopefully, yeah, get back to the OHL next year.
Most definitely. I know a big cause for drama over in Ontario was the golf courses. Are you much of a golfer, and have you been out since they opened up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everyone was pretty pissed about the golf courses, and yeah, I love golfing, and I always go golfing with my buddies, after the season's over.
Right on. Any time out this year yet, or what?
Yeah, I've been out a couple times, but when it was shut down, that was when I was at the U18. So when I came back, that's when most of the stuff opened up.
Right on. You're the beacon of hope to open up the golf courses when you got back to after your quarantine, I'm sure, I guess. But I've heard that you're quite the athlete off the ice as well, and you have some past playing with baseball. You guys won a pretty good championship, right, in the Ontario League?
Yes, I was playing for the London Badgers just here locally in London, but we were Triple A baseball, and we won the All Ontarios 4 years in a row. So, and we also got bronze at the Nationals, which is all of Canada. So, yeah, it was a good run.
Wow, that's good to hear. And I'm a baseball background myself. I heard that you were a shortstop. I think you would have liked throwing to me at 6'4" over there at first base. But I heard you were quite the hitter as well. You weren't just a fielding shortstop, but you were hitting in the top of the lineup, it sounded like.
Yeah, I was hitting mostly in the second or third holes. I love hitting and I just love to get the big hit in the big moment.
Absolutely. Was that kind of just always growing up? Was it hockey in the winter months and then baseball in the summer months for you?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, we had some conflicts with when I was younger. I was playing spring hockey, but yeah, we just worked our way around that. But yeah, mostly hockey in the winter and just get my mind off hockey and playing baseball in the summer.
Right on. So have you gotten into any slow pitch leagues now that you moved on from baseball a little bit, or is that something you're looking forward to in the future?
No, I haven't actually got to do that yet, but yeah, it's definitely I love putting the glove on, love swinging the bat just every once in a while, so yeah, it's something I'm looking forward to.
That's exciting. I'm 27 years old, so I'm just in that phase now of starting to play in some slow pitch leagues in the summertime. And believe me, if you have a baseball background, you're going to absolutely love it once you get onto these slow pitch teams a little bit older in your life.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I want to get into some of the things that you obviously did this year. A very strange year for you. And I kind of just wanted to start with what it was like, you know, first thinking that the OHL might be coming back. Obviously, it never ended up coming back for any games this year. But how hard was that for you looking at it? I mean, coming into this year, you must be excited. It's your draft year. You get to return to Oshawa, play with the Generals. But then, obviously, it just never ended up working out for you. How tough was that mentally on you, just knowing that it was your draft year?
Yeah, it was really tough. It always just kept getting pushed back and pushed back. So I was always hopeful, just keep training really hard. But, and then halfway through the year when they pushed it back again, I looked to farther my development elsewhere, that's when I went into Finland. But yeah, it was definitely tough. I was going to go back to Oshawa. We had a really good team and we were hoping to go for a big Memorial Cup run.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you guys are really starting to turn around. A lot of the younger players really get into that age where you can really affect an OHL game too. But you mentioned Finland there. How did that kind of come about? Because I'm sure that, you know, every kid in your position at your age wants to go over and still play some hockey. So was it kind of tough to find a place to play in Finland?
Yeah, so I was still training here in London, and we were just hopeful for the OHL to start up. But then, yeah, I got pushed back again. So I had some talks with my agents and with my family. And, yeah, we thought we needed to find some hockey elsewhere since it's my draft year. I need to show myself. So my agents found a place in Europe, and which is in Finland, and we thought we'd take the opportunity, and it was a tremendous experience.
And can you give me one food from Finland that maybe didn't look great but actually tasted amazing?
I went to this pretty cool steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And I had horse meat.
Wow.
And it was very good.
That's an experience right there. That's how did you kind of just, did you dive right into that, or did it take some convincing to try the horse meat?
Yeah, it definitely did take some convincing. I went with a couple other Finnish guys, and they're like, oh, trust me, just take it. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. It was really good.
And I heard that you got to stay with a fellow Canadian while you were there. How much easier did that make the whole experience?
Yeah, that was a lot easier. I went over there with Nicholas Canadi. I didn't really know him beforehand, but no, we got along really well. We were cooking our own meals. We were going out to the grocery store. We were cleaning our own apartments. So, I taught some good life lessons.
Well, that's good. I mean, at your age, yeah, you're not really used to doing all that yet. Was it kind of a culture shock to just live on your own and have your own apartment, or did you kind of enjoy the freedom that comes with that?
No, it was definitely different, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was awesome, and the language barrier was a little bit tough as well. Just going to the grocery store, not knowing what anything says, and yeah, it was a little bit different, but no, it was a great experience.
And I know that saunas are big over there. Did you spend more time in a sauna ever while you were over in Finland?
No, I actually didn't get the chance to, but yeah, all the guys said, yeah, you got to come to a sauna, like they're everywhere, but no, we never got the chance to. I was pretty disappointed that I didn't.
Yeah, I remember seeing it a couple years ago that there was like a famous big rink that they built there in Finland, I think at one of the major Liga cities, and I guess they had a sauna where you could view the game from. Like, it was kind of like a suite, but it was in a sauna, and you could watch the game from there, and I was thinking like, wow, that's got to be quite the experience at the same time, watch a hockey game while in the sauna.
Yeah, the saunas are really big, and a lot of the guys would go after the game. They'd go into the sauna and then jump into the lake, which was freezing cold, go back in the sauna, and do it all over again. So, That was, yeah, that was their tradition after the games.
So they convinced you to eat horse meat, but they didn't convince you to pull the old sauna into the lake trick? You didn't pull that yourself?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to go. I was going to go, but no, I just didn't end up doing it.
And how did you like the pace of that game? Because I know, you know, from watching that league and doing some scouting there, the big things that kind of stick out is just, like, they don't dump the puck in. Like, that's, like, the big thing that they do in that league. It's all about puck possession and moving up. But it's still, like, some of these European leagues, you see a little bit less physical play. But it feels like the Finnish leagues kind of, the physicality almost matches what you see over here in North America in our CHL leagues. So, like, how different hockey was it for you? And did you kind of maybe enjoy parts of your game getting to showcase a little bit more than maybe you do in the OHL?
Yeah, it was definitely a different style of play than the OHL. And yeah, like you said, it was a lot of puck possession. There was a lot of set breakouts, just setting up behind your net and everyone coming back. And there's a lot of traps from the other team. So it was a little bit slower. I'm a little bit more of a go guy, like on the forecheck in Oshawa. But it was definitely different for me. And just the bigger ice we were playing on. Just a lot bigger ice, and you had a little bit more time with the puck, which was good, and something that I got used to. But it was awesome.
How was it for faceoffs? Because I know that Canadians are kind of famous for being some of the best faceoff takers in the world. Were you dominating over there in Finland, or what?
I was playing a little bit of wing as well. So I played like half center, half wing. But yeah, I love taking face-offs, and I love playing center.
Right. What was the coaching staff like over there, especially dealing with you? Like, was there a problem with the English barrier, or was it kind of all good and worked out well?
Yeah, the coaching staff couldn't really speak any English, so it was definitely it was a little different. So they were mostly just drawing it up on the board, and we have to go from there. But yeah, I just remember one time we got scored on a couple times, and they called a timeout, and they're just yelling at us in Finnish, and I had no clue what was going on. So it was a little weird just listening to that. But you know, some of the players could speak a little bit of English, which helped a lot.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I guess like getting yelled at in Finnish, I don't know if that's like better or worse than being yelled at.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking forward to next year, all things go, it sounds like, for the OHL. How excited are you to just get back to Oshawa and see what happens there?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So yeah, hopefully everything is the plan to start it on time. So we should have a really great team, and hopefully I'm a really big factor on that team, and hopefully play a full 68 game schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And you jumped into your first year. You put up 21 goals and 16 assists in that first year. Looking back at your rookie year in the OHL, how do you kind of evaluate what you did in your rookie season?
Yeah, I think it was a really successful rookie season. Just making the jump from minor midget to the OHL is a really big jump. A lot of bigger guys and a lot stronger. But, no, I think I really translated well. And the coaching staff gave me some good experiences and gave me just the opportunity to showcase myself. And also just the veterans on the team just made the transition really smoothly. So, I really appreciate all the help.
And we talked about the points there, obviously, but at the same time, like a lot of people that I've spoke to who have watched you play a lot more than I have, especially in that year in the OHL, they speak very highly of your defensive game. Has that kind of always been something that you've looked to really make a strength of your game on the ice?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a really reliable player on all areas of the ice. And I want to be a really great two-way player, and that really helps transitioning to the next level into the pro hockey. So yeah, I really take pride in my defensive zone and all aspects of the ice.
I always wonder, like, about players that like to have a strong point of defense. Like, is it something that is just worked on every single day, or is there always something that you look at the off season where you can improve your defensive game? Because I know that, you know, offense, it's easy. You work on your shooting, you work on your passing, you work on your skating, your speed, everything. But like, I'm curious, how do you improve your defense in the off season?
Yeah, it's a lot of a mindset, and just defense translates into offense. But you can definitely work on stuff when in the off season. Just having a really great stick, having an active stick, and into the lanes, and also just when you're doing battle drills, make sure you're not just going through the motions on the battle drills. Just make sure you try to prevent them from scoring, and always keep the man from the net.
Right on. And what's it been like for you this offseason? I know a very different one, obviously, but are you able to get some ice right now and get some offseason workouts, all that kind of stuff? Some sort of regularity, maybe?
Yes, it's just starting to open up here. So I was on the ice just last week. So, yeah, it's starting to, things are starting to open up. And, yeah, hopefully it can be a normal offseason.
Yeah, most definitely. And I heard in a recent interview, and I wasn't too happy to hear this being from Vancouver, but you're a Bruins fan. Am I right there?
Yes, that's I've always been a Bruins fan. That's it came down all the way from my grandpa. He used to be he was best friends with Gary Doak, so that just kind of went through the family.
Right on. Well, that's a fine reason, I guess. We don't love that answer here in Vancouver, but we'll deal with it. We've had a lot of guys come from the Boston area, you know, that are now part of the Canucks organization, and they make the transfer once they get drafted here, so that's fine. But I know that one of the players that you like to, I guess, sort of play a similar way to is Patrice Bergeron, and, you know, that's probably where a lot of that two-way play comes from you. What is it about his game that just impresses you the most? Because from what I've heard, you're a huge hockey nut, and I know you watch a ton of NHL games. What is it about Bergeron that, like, sticks out, I guess, different from all the other two-way players? Because, I mean, he comes up every year as one of the best two-way players in the league, it feels like.
Yeah, he really takes pride in his face-offs, and, you always want possession to start the shift off. And, he's a really great two-way player, and also he can score some pretty big goals. So he finds the soft areas in the slot and has a really great scoring touch, and I can put the puck in the net. But yeah, his two-way game is definitely one of the top in the league, and I like to watch him in every Bruins game and see what I can pick off his game to translate it to mine.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've seen from a lot of the goals that you score. I mean, you love to score them, you know, in the dirty areas, around the net. Is that just something that you wanted to always key in on? Is now that you have the size, you got the growth spree, you're looking good at 6'2 now. Is that something that you want to really make sure that that's where a lot of your offense is coming from, just going to the net hard and getting those dirty goals?
Yeah, I think most of the goals that are scored are just sitting right there in front of the net. It's hard to score off the rush, but no, I like to score goals in different aspects of the way, like deflections, rebounds, just off a slot shot. So I think just finding different ways to score is really good, but most of the goals are scored right in the dirty areas.
And some time on the PK as well, I'm hoping, moving forward for you. Is that something that you want to bring to your game going back to the OHL? Because I know you spent a little bit of time in your rookie season, but you didn't really get a lot, did you?
No, I didn't get too much PK time, but I got PK time at the U18 tournament. Mm-hmm. And, I thought I did a really great job with that. So, yeah, just moving forward, just playing on the penalty kill is a privilege. And, just doing anything to prevent them from scoring, doing blocking shots, make sure you get the puck 200 feet down the ice. So yeah, I really like playing the penalty kill.
Awesome, man. Good to hear. And yeah, you got the opportunity at the U18s. We got to talk about that, because I'm thinking you're over in Finland, you're getting to play in these games. That's great that you're getting back to playing hockey, but how great was it for you to get the experience of playing at the U18, especially after a year of, you know, waiting on the OHL, nothing happening there, having to go to Finland? I have to imagine that getting a chance to play the U18s was like the best part of the year for you, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It was just getting that call from Alan Miller was definitely one of the best phone calls I ever got, and it was really exciting. And when we got there, it was a little bit of a different experience than usual, just a lot of COVID protocols and isolating in our room for a little bit. But no, it was an unbelievable experience. It was a great group of guys. We really bonded right away and had a lot of trust in each other, which is one of the reasons why I think we did so well. But the hockey was unbelievable, and the whole experience was one that I'll never forget.
Did it feel good when the coach was screaming at you, knowing that it was in English this time and you could understand?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And I mean, that group that you guys had put together there, I mean, a lot of impressive players that were a little bit younger, but for you guys coming into your draft year, how much of it was just, you know, this is the big moment for us to showcase ourselves? Because with not so much sports going on, like, I don't know, I don't think it was the hype of what we see at the World Juniors every year. I mean, you know that as a Canadian, how crazy the hype is for that. But I mean, maybe just like a level down, like a lot of people were watching the U18s this year, probably more than we've seen in the past. Were you kind of aware of that it was, you know, every game was on national television now, you know, Canada was talking about it, U.S. was talking about it. Was it kind of like one of the biggest stages you've got to play on in your career, do you think?
Yeah, it was, my parents were, they didn't get a chance to go. They were just watching back home. So, yeah, obviously, I knew it was on national television and a lot of my friends were watching. But, yeah, I try not to focus on that and in the whole NHL scouts in the building. But, yeah, I just try to focus on the game. But, yeah, that was probably one of the biggest moments I've ever been in my life, just being in that U18 tournament. But, no, it was I love playing under pressure, and, it was a lot of fun to play in.
And have you taken the gold medal off yet, or is it still hanging around your neck?
Yeah, no, it's in my room, hanging in my room right now.
That's good to hear. That's awesome, man. That must be kind of fun to walk by and see every day, eh?
Yeah, it's awesome.
No doubt. And that group, you got to play with some awesome players on that team. Who were some guys that kind of stuck out to you that, that you know, you enjoyed maybe playing on a line with or just kind of impressed you in practice and in games?
Yeah, obviously, the two younger guys were just unbelievable. I didn't really get a chance to see Bedard in person before, but he was pretty electric every time he got the puck, and just some of the goals that he scored were just mind-blowing. And Shane Wright, he was just every game, he missed a couple games, and then first game he comes back, he scores in the first period and gets a big goal for us. So yeah, he's just both of those guys were really big pieces for us.
And when you go to this U18s, I mean, you're competing against the best guys in your age group. What do you kind of take away from there and say, wow, this is the part of the game that I need to work on a little bit more from this?
Yeah, I like to work on my skating more, as just to make it to the next level, you need to be really great skater, and just to get my first three steps so I can be better from a standstill position and to be more explosive.
And for you now, looking forward to the draft, I mean, it's going to be an exciting 6 weeks for you as we head into it here. Is it kind of strange feeling for you, or are you just full-on excited to see what happens on that draft day now?
No, it's, I'm really excited to see what happens. And, it's too bad that it's online again this year. It would have been a pretty cool experience to get to go to the draft. But, no, I'm going to be here with my family in London, and, I'm just really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it really could go anyway. This is such a strange draft. Are you kind of aware of that as a prospect? Because it's something that us, as you know, the scouting community and people who follow the sport, we're all like, oh, it's such a crapshoot this year. Do you kind of feel that way as a prospect as well, or are you kind of just, you know, sitting there and seeing what happens?
Yeah, I'm mostly just sitting what happens, as I know that anything can really happen this year, so I prepared myself for that. But yeah, it's definitely a different year, just not getting to play a regular season, and all the players in the OHL didn't get to. So, yeah, it's I know that it's going to be a little bit of a strange draft, but no, I'm just ready for any circumstances.
Right, and in such a strange year, like you mentioned, without the OHL, I mean, how important was it for you to go over to Finland and play and get that time at the U18s? Because otherwise, you know, scouts are just going to have to go off what you did 2 years ago, really.
Yeah, I think it was really good for me to showcase myself in both of those two areas. And it was a great experience. It was just getting back to playing hockey, the sport that I love, was just unbelievable. And to but back here there wasn't any ice or any gyms open, so I had to go somewhere else to keep developing and keep working on my game.
And did you feel like it was as successful as you kind of hoped that it could be going over to Finland and seeing what everything happened this year?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I loved every minute of it. And just aside from the hockey part, just getting a little bit back to normalcy, just coming to the rink every day and practicing and working out, just getting into a routine. I love just being in a routine. So yeah, just getting back to that was, I think that really helped me.
And I know you grew up in London. Can you tell us, like, we're over here on the West Coast, a lot of our listeners in Vancouver. For some reason, we have a lot of listeners in Calgary. But tell us one thing about London that people who aren't from there don't know.
Yeah, in London, it's a pretty big city. It's about 400,000. But I actually grew up in Dorchester, which is just a small town outside of London.
Okay.
About 10,000 people. But, yeah, I moved into London 3 years ago, but yeah, I mostly grew up in Dorchester, and Dorchester, it's just a small town. They love sports. They love baseball, soccer, hockey. It's just a really great and athletic town. So, yeah, it's a really small town. You get to know a lot of people, and everyone's really supportive.
So was Dorchester where you played a lot of your baseball? Like, did you guys have like a really impressive team from just that small city?
I played Dorchester before I went to the London Badgers, which was AAA. So Dorchester was just an A team, but then I moved up to the AAA team with the London Badgers when I was 11 years old.
Right on. Well, that's good to hear. And I mean, it's something that's so different because, like, I know the city of London must be crazy about their nights over there. We have a lot of cities over here where the WHL team, you know, is the center of attention. Is that kind of what it's like in London? Like, with, you know, obviously you're with Oshawa now, but I mean, you spend your time in London. Is it just kind of crazy for the Knights over there? Because I don't really understand. Like, I've heard a lot of things about how big the London Knights are, but is it really just take over the city when they're playing?
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Like, the London Knights are, yeah, they're really big. The rink's right in the downtown, and they have the biggest rink in the OHL. They fill the rink every single night with 9,000 fans. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely really big in London. And, it's a tradition. Every Friday night there's a home Knights game, and they always fill the rink.
And, I mean, I'm sure you spent some time going to those games when you were a kid. But now to be in the OHL for yourself in Oshawa, like, how cool was it to kind of realize that dream in your rookie season a couple years ago and play in the OHL in front of crowds like that?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And yeah, when I was growing up, I had my family had season tickets for 10 years to the Knights.
Oh, wow.
And so just being able to play in front of all my friends and family when I came to London was it was a really special moment. And just getting that little lap around and warm up was really cool as well.
So do you remember some of those moments, like the big Bo Horvat goal in some of those playoffs there? I mean, now obviously he's part of the Vancouver Canucks. What do you remember from those teams?
I was actually at that game. Yes.
No way.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. They went upstairs. They didn't know if it was in or not. And, and then the ref pointed to center ice. That was a goal. And then the whole crowd went crazy. But yeah, it was, and I actually work out, and I'm on the ice with Bo Horvat during the summer. So, since I got to know him, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome, especially being a kid watching that goal. I'm sure that was one of the craziest hockey moments you've ever seen in person, and now you're on the ice working out with him. That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, it was really cool, yeah.
Right on. So what's Bo like in his off-season workouts? I mean, he obviously works a hell of a lot. We've seen his improvement in skating over the past, you know, 5-6 years since he was drafted, and it's something that's really improved in his game. What's it like working out in the off-season with him? Is he just busting you every single minute on the ice?
Oh, he's a workhorse. He just loves to get better, and, his legs are just huge. So he always works, and he comes to the gym. He comes with a really great mindset, and he likes to have fun. But when the work comes, he just gets right down to business and gets focused. So yeah, I have the same power skating coach as him, and we do a lot of power skating together. And he's really great on his edges, and just loves to get better.
Right on. Well, it worked for Bo. I'm hoping that it works for you as well with improving your skating. I mean, it seems like you're in the right spot to learn with them then. And hopefully you can get in the face-off dot with him. I mean, he's one of the best in the NHL for face-offs. How do you do when you match up in the face-off dot with Bo?
I don't actually think I've done a face-off with him. But, we do every Friday. We have, like, a scrimmage with OHL and NHL guys. And, just being on the ice with guys like Travis Konecny, Nick Suzuki, and Jordan Kyrou is just, it's really great to battle with them and have some fun.
Right on. And how cool is that? I mean, maybe not cool is the right word, but how crucial is that kind of for your development to see what these guys do every day on the ice to get to that level? And then you get to, you know, skate with them and see what you have to kind of improve on or what level you have to get at, you know, with commitment to this game to get to the level where they're at.
Yeah, it's awesome. I just, whenever I'm on the ice with them, I always, when I'm just waiting in line, I always watch them, what they're doing, and see if I can translate that into my training sessions or to my game. And it's really cool to see where they're at right now, to know the where I need to get. And it's really great for them to be pushing me to just get better every session.
Right on, man. Well, that's good to hear. And we'll kind of wrap things up here. Really appreciate you taking some time. But Brett, the final thing that I've been, I don't know why this started happening, but every prospect that I've been talking to, I've been telling him to, if you're in a time, I guess like you're going back in time, say 8 years, you're 10 years old, it's Sunday morning, you're about to watch a bunch of cartoons, and you get a massive bowl of the sugariest cereal that you want. What's the best sugar cereal when you were 10 years old?
I'm not too sure. I wasn't a big cereal guy when I was younger, but I do like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's it's something I still like to eat to this day, and I like the taste of that. But no, I'm not a big sugary cereal guy.
It's funny. I'm pretty sure you haven't listened to our previous episodes with some of the other prospects, but you've kept the trend going of every single one saying Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So thanks for that.
Wow. No, I actually didn't.
Yeah, every guy I've talked to has said, I think we're 3 for 3 for Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So,
that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, they got to sponsor us by now, I think. So,
yeah.
Well, Brett, really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us here on the show, chat about your hockey career a little bit. And it's just getting started now, man. So we wish you the best of luck here from Vancouver in the next 6 weeks here with this draft. I'm sure it's an exciting time for yourself and your family. So best of luck at the draft, and we'll hopefully see you in the NHL in a couple of years.
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.